Don't judge me. Pastors are human too. And so we'll try to get along as we can. Psalm 27. On Monday, I was spending time with the Lord. And as I was, I genuinely felt impressed of God about this passage. Now, in my Bible reading, I just finished the book of 1 Samuel. So as I was finishing, and I'm reading the book, the Bible chronologically, as I finished the book of 1 Samuel, as the chronological reading is, all of the, it begins to give all of the psalms that David would have written at the time when Saul was trouncing around the countryside trying to kill him. And as I was beginning to read these psalms over and over and over again, psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm, I began to notice a pattern. And one of the passages that God used to arrest my heart was this passage right here in Psalm 27 at the very end of the psalm. Now, you'll notice in verse 12, this kind of actually helps you to understand what the context of David's heart is. It says, "Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." So David is really confessing his heart to God and saying, "Lord, you know my integrity." In fact, you go through those psalms and you'll see God, David's saying, "God, I've done what's right. I've tried to live for you. You know my heart. I've not thought ill of Saul or any of what he's doing. And so God, please have mercy on me and help me." And then he gets to verse 13, and I love this passage of scripture, not only for the context of David when he was being pursued falsely or wrongly, but also I love this passage for what it is for us contextually and where we are during the sheltering in place time. And I want you to see it here in verse 13. "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Now, contextually speaking, that is amazing to me because David is with these 600 ragtag men and he's been hiding out in Ziklag and Saul's been pursuing him. And at every turn, whether it's Doeg or a city or other people or even the Philistines, at every turn, it just seems like discouragement is around the corner. And yet David says in the middle of that, I had fainted unless, and notice the faith aspect, I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, David said, I was not going to forego all the goodness that I could observe because of all the evil that I observe also. He said, I would have fainted had I not observed the goodness of God. Let me just remind you right here, just in the introduction, would you please not forget the goodness of God in your life? Would you not forsake the fact that God is good all the time and that he works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose? Would you not so soon forget on a daily basis or through a news outlet? Would you not so soon forget that God can only be good and only does good all the time? And that will help us not to faint in this time. Now notice what he does in verse 14. He encourages, by way of inspiration, all of those people who go through anything that requires waiting. What was David waiting for? Well, David was waiting for the fact that one day he was going to be the king. But before he was going to be the king, he was waiting for the fact that one day he could just pillow his head at night and not worry about who's trying to tattle on him so that he would lose his life. He was waiting for a time when he could have, shall we say it this way, a rest and a peace from all of the turmoil, from all that he has to worry about. He was waiting, but I want you to see what he says in verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Don't wait for things to work out. Don't wait for Saul to die. Don't wait for things to change. He says, wait on the Lord. Now watch. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now think about those words. David is saying, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Something tells me that David could write those words because it was true for him. You see, David waited on the Lord. David didn't faint because he waited on the Lord. David didn't faint because while he was waiting on the Lord, God revealed his goodness. God revealed his blessing. God revealed how he was taking care of David. And so the Bible says, now let's just read it together. Shall we do that? Verses 13 and 14. In fact, if you're in your home and you can read this out loud with your family or even by yourself, I would encourage you to read it out loud with me. All right. Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. Ready? Begin. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, the title of the message tonight is Waiting It Out. And I want to do a series just really entitled SIP, Sheltering in Place. And we'll loop back and put last week's, even these last 3 weeks really kind of in there, not officially, but really in the time that we've been sheltering in place now, today is a month. Now, it's hard to believe that we've been in the positioning of sheltering in place for a little over a month, which is something our culture is finding considering the fact that so many people are hardly in one place for very long from day to day. I mean, let's be honest, people's lives are so, let me say this, were so busy, filled with so many things. In fact, I would encourage you to sit down maybe tonight or tomorrow in your devotion time and write all of the things that you were involved in outside of what you're involved in now and see, wow, that was what my time was spent on. That was all the things. Now, right about now, now that we've been here for a little more than a month, I'm sure that there are even some that are beginning to see this sheltering in place order as an infringement of our civil liberties, because we've been waiting and waiting for that press conference, if you will, or perhaps that official statement that tells us to go back to your lives, citizens, and perhaps even do it with caution. We've been waiting for that. We're waiting for that one magical statement, that one press release, that one iPhone alert that just says, "You, everybody, the gates are open, you can come back into the city," type of thing. But have you ever stopped to think about God's plan in all of this? For those who never stop long enough to think about God's plan, consider the fact that God, in his sovereignty, has stopped everything. And maybe he has stopped you from continuing on in that list that you've been involved in. Now, while some of us are waiting to see what God's purpose and plan for such a time of this is, have you considered that maybe the only purpose God has for you and I is to learn what it means to wait? What does it mean to wait? Well, for some Christians, let's just be honest, this time of pause has not been too altering for them. It's not been a major change in their life at all. Aside from perhaps the kids doing school at home, that may be a little, or seeing your husband or your spouse a little more frequently. That outside of that, there's not been a whole lot of other change because their lives are fairly simple to begin with. While for others, this has meant a completely different life. You could call it a far more simple life. And for them, that was the whole purpose all along, was to change the normal. You see, in either case, let's face it, waiting is a hard thing to do for many of us who don't like to wait for anything. Some want to hurry up and get things going again. And maybe they've said, "I just want things back to normal." When all along, that's what God wants, is a new normal. All the while, what are we left to do? Wait. And yet, isn't it interesting that throughout the book of Psalms, God speaks not only about waiting, but he speaks to the advantages of waiting. And then, by his loving mercy, he shows us how to do it. Now, in your text, in Psalm 27, the word wait there, to wait on the Lord, the phrase wait on the Lord, means to wait in faith. To wait in faith, that is, to wait with a hope that there's something coming. but it's not from a physical agency. It's not from something that you can see. It's from someone to whom you cannot see. And God says, I want you to wait. You could say he wants us to wait in faith. That describes the Christian life during a time like this perfectly. Is that God wants us to use this time of stop, to use this time of pause, to learn what it means to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord and he shall strengthen your heart. Are you waiting on the Lord? Is your heart being strengthened every day because of how you are waiting? When you check your news feed and you see what the next date of perhaps opening up the country is, do you find yourself just trying to wait it out? Because that's the title of this little study. And while we wait it out, so to speak, I believe the Bible teaches us how we should be waiting. And I want to give you several suggestions tonight. And again, I see the time. We may or may not get through this, but I want to share with you really the heart of this message. I pray that it would come through. So let's just think about how should we wait? While we're waiting for the culture, while we're waiting for the country, while we're waiting for all of the community to turn back its watch dials or clock hands, if you will, and go back to what would culturally be said as normal, how should Christians wait this out? How should we wait on the Lord? How are we going to get strength from the Lord, as the Bible declares? It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say. He emphasizes it. How should we do that? Well, first of all, let me suggest we should wait courageously. It says it right there in the text. It says, wait on the Lord and, notice, and be of good courage. David is speaking from the aspect of, look, you really have nothing to fear because God's in control of this. Look, David was anointed king. Saul didn't want him to be king. Saul had the Spirit of God leave him and an evil spirit come to visit him. And he was so agitated by anger and jealousy, he tried to kill David two different times with a spear. Tried to take his life, tried to hunt him down like a fowl in the middle of the field. And so David is saying, look, I want you to know, I'm speaking from experience. No matter what happens, you can trust God. And you can be courageous about it. Not being arrogant, but courageous rather than fearful. As God's children, we have no reason to live in fear. Somebody say amen, right, in your living room. We have no reason to live in fear. This is the perfect opportunity. And now is the time to show your friends and your loved ones the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Consider Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee, and turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now that should be enough. It should be enough for us as the children of God. Psalm 31, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, and all ye that hope in the Lord. Now let me say this. It is the uninhibited faith of a child trusting in their father that is enough to move mountains, according to Jesus. That's enough to calm the winds. That's enough to still the waves, by the way, of things like anxiety, of fear, of worry, and agitation. All of those are synonymous words with fear. Now turn in your Bible, if you will, just for a moment to Psalm 139. Would you do that? Psalm 139. And while you're turning there, I want us to think about this measure of courage. Now, and you may be like, look, this point really is irrelevant to me. I don't see how I can be any more courageous. Well, I'm not talking about, you know, storming the line at Home Depot or going to Safeway and just saying, I believe God and bless God and go around and hug everybody. That's being irresponsible. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being courageous in your heart, being courageous, knowing that God is in control, being able to wait in faith, knowing that God's going to work all things out. Now in Psalm 139, verse 23, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know this. Notice what it says, and know my, what's the next word? Heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, that is, prove me. Judge me in my heart. And know my, notice this, thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now remember this, that the word thoughts there means the noisy thoughts of anxiety. Now let's think about that. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And then notice, and see if there be any wicked way in me. The word wicked there means grief or pain. So we could say it this way. God, will you please search me tonight? And would you please see if there are any anxious thoughts, noisy thoughts, thoughts of fear, thoughts of angst, thoughts of worry or agitation that's causing me grief, that's making me not trust in you. Lord, anything in my life, anything that's coming into my mind, when I lay down, whether I lay down at night or whether I get up in the morning or whether I'm casually listening to something in the afternoon, God, if my thoughts are anxious and causing me pain inside, would you reveal them to me? And then, Lord, notice what it says. And then lead me in the way everlasting. Did you know that if you put all this together, David's saying you can trust the Lord. You can be of good courage. You don't have to fear for your life. You don't have to fear for the future. You don't have to fear even for your family. You can trust God. You can live courageously no matter what the circumstances may be. Remember what God is thinking toward you. God's thoughts toward us are of peace and not of evil. But the expected end that he speaks of to bring us to requires that we learn how to wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He reiterates it. Why? Because it's so important. While we're waiting it out, could I just encourage you to wait on the Lord? But when you do it, to wait courageously. Secondly, let me suggest that we should wait obediently. We should be waiting obediently. Now, the Bible tells us very specifically, I fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, we know in the Bible, in Psalm 119, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 4, we know, verses 23 through 25, that we're to keep our heart with all diligence. Now, that being said, we know where the word of God goes, and we know how we're supposed to live it out. So let me say this, sheltering place is not a pass on acting like a Christian. Sheltering in place is not a pass on walking in the Spirit or submitting to the will of God. I think sometimes when we say the will of God, we begin to think about perhaps the big picture or the end of all things in our life. Rather than, listen carefully, rather than thinking about the steps that it takes every day to get there. We can so forecast our life and so see and trying to formulate what the big picture looks like, that we forget the steps involved that it takes to get there and please God. Psalm 37:34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Think about that. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. So I can wait with the, I can wait in faith while I am obeying the Lord, and it's necessary to do so. The fact is, this time we've been given is an amazing opportunity to strengthen any weaknesses in our spiritual walk or within the relationships with the people that we love the most. So let me encourage you to continue to seek the Lord through his word. And then, like a true disciple of Christ, act in obedience to every impulse of the Holy Spirit. Use this time to not only gain truth and knowledge of who God is, but to say, now, God, what I've learned from you, or the aspect of the word of God that you spoke to me today, would you help me now to live it out in the next several hours at home? Because, Lord, I want to live obediently as I'm waiting on the Lord, not on the president or some announcement. Lord, as I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm believing you for everything, and I want to be courageous about it. But, Lord, I also want to make sure that I mind my own ways, that I'm obedient to do what you want me to do. The Bible says in Isaiah 26 and verse 8, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, listen, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. Isaiah 26 and verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me, listen, I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Man, I love that verse. Do you know why? Because the Bible tells me that as I seek the Lord, and that as I live those truths out, that others are going to see it. And that makes a difference. Look, the fact is irrelevant that you may not see all of the other people that you would normally see on a regular basis. But there is somebody that you're living with, more than likely, that does see you. If you're a mom and dad, your children are watching you. If you're a teenager or a young person, everybody in your house is watching you. And it's not fair to the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, we're asking you for your deliverance. And they go to live like the devil. It's just not right. God says, no, I want you to wait on the Lord, but I want you to wait because you're in the way of my judgments. They tell me the average business executive spends about 60 hours a year on hold on the telephone. He or she also spends about 32 minutes every day reading and writing unnecessary memos, and an hour and 12 minutes a day in unnecessary meetings. Now, if you're an executive or not, but you've been given back that kind of time and you have that now, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with this waiting time? I was overwhelmed, to be honest with you, with the testimonies that I got. I didn't get a whole lot. I expected more. But the ones that I got so encouraged me, and some of them made me weep. Some of them made me so overjoyed. Some of them made me laugh. Some of them made me very burdened and wanted me to pray. And I've been praying for these people. But I want to read to you some of them. And of course, I'm not going to say who they're from or how it all happened for them. But I would like to give you the gist of their testimony. Listen to this one who writes. First of all, I never imagined being stuck in a house for such a long time. Okay, I've been safe at home. All joking aside, God has made me see so many of my faults and wishes. How many times have you been at work and said, "Oh, I wish I could be at home," or in the morning wishing you could just stay in bed and saying to yourself, "Ugh, I just wish I could stay home in my pajamas." Well, I've seen this as a test from God. Is that really what I was wishing? Is that really what I was praying for? Did I really want to be at home and not work? Did I really want to stay home instead of going to church? Did I really want to be at home instead of being in any other place I was reluctant on going to? For me, I feel like my freedom has been taken away, and now I'm forced to do things that I've put off for so long. Now that my closet is organized, I've read many books, now what do I do? Well, I've taken this time to seek God and have Him redirect my life and prioritize what I've taken for granted for so long. Faith, family, and time management. I always say, oh, if I only had time to do that, or I'll get it when I have time, or I'll do it when I have time. Now that I've had nothing but time, have I done the things that I put off? Some yes, and some no. God has shown me that I've forgotten that He is ultimately in control. If I would just listen and let Him be. Like the song says, be still and know that I am God. Well, with God, we can accomplish all things. But He needs to be the center of our lives. And we will find that we have time for everything if we prioritize. That's someone who is being taught the lesson of the value of time. And the importance of not procrastinating, the importance of prioritizing. Here's another one. They write, Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." When I read that, I was like, okay, this is going to be just about the fear of life and God's being, you know, in the last month He showed Himself strong or whatever. Listen to this. God promises to be with me through every storm, every blessing, every minute and every hour of every day. I've clung to these and many of His promises for a long time, especially in recent years. But during this pandemic that we are all facing together, God has shown me what fear truly is to someone that does not have these promises through someone that does not have the hope that saved people, born-again Christians, have. I see it every day. And I must say that it's heartbreaking to see the fear in people's eyes and the emptiness in their hearts. They write, God has pricked my heart to be more thankful for the hope that I have in Him, but to be more submissive to Him when it comes to obedience and witnessing. You see, David wasn't just going to sit in Ziklag and say, okay, Lord, I'm here, I'm just waiting for the kingdom. No, no. When he got word that the Philistines were attacking another city, he went to the Lord and said, Lord, would thou have me to go up against them? And God said, yes, I want you to go. Lord, have you delivered them into my hand? Yes. And so he did it. You know what he was doing? He was being obedient. Now, he could have said, Lord, if I go out there, Saul's going to get me. If I go out there, Doeg's going to hear where I'm at and he's going to rat on me. God, if I go out there, the cities are going to know where I am. But he didn't say that. He didn't use his circumstances to keep him from being obedient to God. I love this next one. God has really been working on our hearts this past month. We've come to the realization together that if our lives ended right now, we stood before the Lord, that we would be embarrassed to give an account for what we've done for Him with our lives. Our concentration concerning unsaved families has been to build this strong relationship first with them, hoping to one day share the gospel with them. But if our lives ended right now, they would still not know Christ. We don't want to waste the opportunities Christ has given us anymore. This has led us over the past few weeks, to begin praying for 5 unsaved families that God has laid on our hearts. We've been able to share Christ with every one of these families in some way, and we're beginning to see some amazing fruit. We had it all backwards, they write. The moment that we shared Christ with them, our relationships have flourished, and it's led to some incredible conversations that I believe the Lord will use to draw them in. Understand this, that when I am obedient to the Holy Spirit of God, He gives us all of those things that we've lacked. What's lacking in the Christian that's not obeying the Holy Spirit of God? I will tell you, it's the joy of the Lord. Now, isn't it interesting that the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength? And here, David says, wait on the Lord and wait so that He can strengthen your heart. What does that mean? I believe with all my heart, you cannot wait on the Lord by faith without being actively obedient by faith. Now, one writer said this way, when you stop to think about it, there's no such thing as a future decision. You face only present decisions that will affect what will happen in the future. He said, procrastinators wait for just the right moment to decide. If you wait for the perfect moment, you become a security seeker who is running in place, going through the motions, and getting deeper in a rut. If I wait for every objection to be overcome, I will attempt nothing. You know, a lot of people in the Christian life have waited and waited and waited for the opportunistic, we'll say maybe even convenient time to be obedient to God and His will. And now it's finally come. Now God has said, you know, I'm going to remove all of those extra things that you do from after school to the time you go to bed. I'm going to remove even some of those things that you've done and that you've thought about and that you've calculated, that you've scheduled even during your day and in the morning. And I want to simplify your life every single day. The same thing, the same absences, the same presence. For one reason. I just want you. I want you to learn what it means to wait on me. I think the Bible teaches us that we should wait not just obediently and certainly not just courageously, but I believe it also teaches us, thirdly, that we should wait patiently. Patiently. Now, certainly, the Bible says, I had fainted unless I had believed. It does say wait, and though it is waiting by faith, it still requires waiting. It requires being still and not necessarily in motion toward, but in motion for. But what does it mean, waiting patiently? Well, the central key to patient rest during this time will be your time with Jesus himself. The longer this drags on, the more antsy we get. Then on comes the news, or on comes the internet, looking for the scientist, the president, the governor, or someone, anyone, but not the Lord. We're waiting eagerly. We're not waiting patiently. You understand that this shelter in place order is not going to lift a day before God wants it to lift. It's not going to happen. As much as we are looking for some hope from someone else, God says, no, I've stopped all this so that nobody can do anything but hope and wait for me. See, I think that God is so wise. And I think that God has orchestrated this on purpose for a lot of different purposes. But I think one of them is to wake up his church. I think one of them is to wake us up and teach us patience, that we should learn to wait on the Lord. You know, a lot of people waited in the Bible. Israel waited 400 years. Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, even Esther, they waited 70 years. They waited for God to deliver them so they could have the green light to go back. The children of Israel waited at the end of the plagues. They're like, okay, now we got to quarantine ourselves, and God wants us to be obedient, and he wants us to put the blood of the lamb over the door, and now we've just got to be patient, and now we've got to wait and see what happens. And what did God do in every one of those issues, in every one of those instances? He followed through. He delivered. And it wasn't a day before. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says in Galatians that in due time, Jesus was born under the law. In due time, God sent his son Jesus to die. Do you know that helps me understand that God is never late? That God is always on time. And he wants us to wait for him patiently. Are you waiting patiently? Because I know that if we do more contemplating than worrying, then God's saying, now I can work. Isn't it interesting that God says that when you fall into diverse temptations, to let patience have her perfect work? I got this testimony from somebody in our church. So I've been thinking about what the Lord's taught me during this shelter in place. And I come out with the fact that this time has been a huge blessing. People keep talking about how difficult it has been for me, how difficult it's been. But for me, God has taken away every distraction of the world, and my world has shrunk down to the four walls of my house. It has given me the opportunity to look, to see, to appreciate, and to praise him. I don't have any distractions now. Nothing to distract me from him. He, she emphasizes, has supplied every need. I've lacked nothing. And they quip, even toilet paper. They write, my time with him has been sweeter. And I've learned to depend on him. I've learned to trust in him deeper. And I'm grateful for this time. And I'm filled to overflowing. Does that sound to you like someone who's been worrying? And I'm not saying perhaps that they never had fear. I'm just saying, to me, it sounds like someone has finally said, Lord, you're in control. And however long you want to do this, I'm okay with that. And I'll just sit here and I'll wait for you. Another one writes, I believe the biggest thing that God has shown me through my times of prayer and devotion is that this virus and shutdown has a huge opportunity to share the gospel with others. I know people are going to have more time to think about their lives and what life is really all about. I believe they'll be wondering about the end of life and the world as they know it. I've spent more time in prayer about revival coming to our nation and the world because of this. Man, what an amazing thought. That I could wait in prayer. That I could wait patiently in prayer. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said to his disciples, watch and worry. Watch and be anxious. Watch and look for everything you possibly, if it moves, shoot it. No. He said, watch and pray. And then we know why Peter acted like he did. He was sleeping when he should have been praying. Another aspect that the Lord has shown me, the one finishes, is how precious and important people are to us and how much we actually need one another. You know, these two testimonies, what they spoke to me of was just what they found in Christ. What if you go back to the text in Psalm 27, I had fainted unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what people are doing while they're waiting, while they're resting patiently in God? It's that they're seeing the blessings of God for what they are. They're not taking them for granted. Psalm 37 and verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Psalm 37, 11, and the meek shall inherit the earth. And notice, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Listen to Psalm 25 and verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Notice, on thee do I wait all the day. Look, I'm sorry, but I can't wait all day long if I'm not waiting patiently. If I'm not looking forward to what's coming. Some years ago, I read about a speedboat driver who had recently survived a racing accident. He said that he had been at a near top speeds when his boat veered slightly and hit a wave at a dangerous angle, and the combined force of the speed and the size and angle of the wave sent the boat spinning crazily into the air. He was thrown from his seat and propelled deeply into the water, so deep in fact, that he had no idea which direction the surface was. He had to remain calm and wait for the buoyancy of his life vest to begin pulling him up. Once he discovered which way was up, he could swim to the surface. What an amazing illustration. Sometimes we find ourselves surrounded by confusing options, too deeply immersed in our problems to know which way is up. When this happens, you know what we have to do? Be calm. Wait patiently. Waiting for God's gentle tug to pull us in the proper direction. Hey, it's this way that's up. You see, our life vest sometimes comes by the way of other Christians. You may have had some other Christian encourage you when you were going through a difficult time. You know who that is? That's God. That's God's life vest of His Spirit tugging you upward. It may be in the form of Scripture. Many times have I gone into the Bible or into my prayer closet and found that God was saying, look up, from whence cometh my help? It cometh from the hills, looking unto Jesus. Sometimes it's just the leading of the Holy Spirit, but the key is recognizing our dependency upon God and trusting in Him. Let me give you number four, and that is we should wait quietly. Can you turn in your Bibles with me to Lamentations? Lamentations. Lamentations in verse 3, and these are some of the most precious. Now, it's all precious, don't get me wrong, but my goodness, for a time that we are going through, for a time when, man alive, the news agencies of despair, hatred, envy, strife, anger, and you just go to the store and seeing these lines of people with masks, that can get on you. And I'm not talking about the virus. I'm just talking about emotionally. That can play with you psychologically. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. You want to be helped? Learn to wait quietly, not angrily. Not in strife, not in envy, not in saying, I wish it would just go back to normal. I wish I could have my life back. And for some young people or teenagers and even some adults, that may be the case. I'm just trying to wait this out and I want things to go back my way. And God says, no, I don't want it your way. What's it mean to wait quietly? This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. He is enough, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto all them, unto them that what? Wait for Him. In fact, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good then that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, it was Warren Wisby that said this, the ability to calm your soul and to wait before God is one of the most difficult things in all the Christian life. Our old nature is restless, and the world around us is frantically in a hurry. But a restless heart usually leads to a reckless life. Oh my goodness. You know what God's people need to be doing as we're waiting? To wait quietly. You know, it's interesting having children at home and not having the teachers present with them. If the kids are not careful, they will treat school differently as they would as they were in the classroom. And I found myself thinking to myself, do you act this way at school? I mean, there's no difference. You're supposed to be learning. Why would you act one way for your teacher and act a different way for us? Why don't you just sit and be still and do your learning? And you know what? God smote me with that in my heart. And I thought, God, I don't want to be just skimming the top of this. I don't want to be going through this just land blasting. And let's just keep going. Let's going. Let's figure out a way to open the economy and figure out a way we can get together and figure out a way to just get this church back on the wheels. Lord, I don't want to figure out nothing. I just want to quietly wait. One of my favorite movies of all time is a movie that stars John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara, and it's called The Quiet Man. And I love that movie. I've probably seen that movie, I don't even know, probably more than 40 or 50 times in my lifetime. I know seriously almost every line. As humorous and sentimental as that movie is to me, that title, A Quiet Man, is something I think that Daniel was. Daniel was a quiet man. Joseph was a quiet man. They only spoke when they were needed to speak. They did what they needed to do. Daniel, what did he do? Three times a day, he was quiet. And he sat still before the Lord. Oh, to be the quiet man spiritually in the 21st century certainly would be something I think that God would be pleased with in this time. Another testimony said, I've been working for 32 years for the same company 5 days a week. When we were told we could no longer work due to shelter in place, I found myself really happy. Here, I'm going to have all this free time to do all the million things I never have the time to do. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the joy lasted a day or two until God got a hold of me and was telling me, what are you going to do with all this time I'm giving you? At that point, I realized that I did not want to do what was on my list, but instead what was on my heart, and that was yearning to spend time with God. They write, I've enjoyed being in God's presence like never before. I found myself wanting to pray at times that I would not do it because of work. I even found time to take a Bible class online. I cannot express my gratitude towards God for giving me this precious time to get to know Him in a deeper way. And about all the million things in my list, I'm going to save them for another time. You know, it's amazing how noisy our world is. When we first moved here, it took me a while to get used to the San Jose flyover. And then 9/11 happened. And it was eerie. No more planes. It was really eerie. No more buses. Nobody on the streets. Aside from an early morning on Christmas, or maybe an early morning on Easter or even New Year's, it was just weird having all the quietness. Sunday, I got up about 5 o'clock or so, about 5:15. And I told my wife later, I said, you know, I get up on Sunday mornings about 5:15 every Sunday. And Easter Sunday, every year prior to this, has been, even early in the hours, a little noisy. This year it wasn't like that. This year it was quiet. For almost 3 solid hours, there was no sound. And as the dawn began to approach, was just small birds. It was so amazing. You know, our world is in motion, and it's vastly and very quickly in motion. You got to pay attention. Things change all the time. It's so noisy. It's hard to be quiet. So many things cause noise, schedules, our devices, people, circumstances, responsibilities, all of the hobbies, all of the wants, all of the shows, catching up on all the sports and trying to fit it all in a given day. You know what it does normally? Pushes God out. So God says, I'm going to calm everything. That is unbelievable. It's unbelievable how many planes are being parked and not flown. It's amazing how many cars are not being driven. Insurances are giving money back to people because nobody's driving. Gas is dropping through the floor. Hallelujah for that. Because nobody's driving. And I just wonder if we would say, thank you, Lord, for showing me that you're more than enough and that I can be quiet through all of this. See, time spent with God restores our hope. It brings the blessings from God's throne right to the heart. That's waiting quietly. And I think we would all benefit from that. Let me close with this tonight. The last one is this. We should wait expectantly. Expectantly. Notice again back in our text. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The very definition of the word to wait by faith means that there's something or someone coming. There's a reason that we should be expecting. And that is, what is it that's going to come? I don't know what it is. And to be honest, I really don't care what it is, because if it's from God, it's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. Why? Because he's a great God. He's an awesome God. He's a good God. And I can wait for somebody like that. I got this testimony. Without this happening, I think I would have gone on ignorantly thinking, I've got this. Or God's got this. When I hadn't given it over to him to begin with. It's a moment by moment concentrated effort. They talk about the difficulties they're going with and the stress that they're burdened on because of the change in circumstances. And this one is very unique. But giving God this when I hadn't really given it over to him to begin with. They write, it's a moment by moment concentrated effort that I feel, listen, so much better since changing my focus from being on the what ifs to being what will God do through this. From the insignificant things to the great big huge things. They write, he knew this was going to happen. And he has a plan. And I don't have to know what it is. Just trust him. They conclude, there's a sign up in my house that I've read over and over. But I'm reading it with even more understanding right now. In Christ alone, hope is found. So thank you. Thankful for the hope we have in Christ. Now, what are you expecting? Because here, instead of David praying to change circumstances, David says, just wait. And what he got was not a change in circumstances. It was a change in strength. He got something that he was not expecting. And that means that if I can quietly and obediently And sincerely wait on the Lord, then I'm going to receive strength. It was like when Paul said, Lord, would you please change my circumstances? And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for me. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power or the strength of Christ might rest upon me. That's what we need. But we can't have it if we're not willing to wait. Isaiah 40:31 has been one of those pillows that many unfortunate souls have laid upon night after night. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Because of his strength, I will wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Isaiah 25, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Psalm 130 and verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of their mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Proverbs 8 and verse 34 kind of sums it all up. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. What are you waiting for? G. Campbell Morgan said, waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. Waiting for God means first, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. Wow. Now, let me close with this last testimony. They write, it has most certainly been an unusual time as the world and our lives seem to be on pause, but has also been a profitable time for reflection and family. It's amazing the things that we so often take for granted, gathering as believers, spending time in corporate worship, have been a couple of things in particular that we miss dearly and most certainly won't take for granted again. I honestly believe that when church gathers again, fellowship, the music, the singing, and the response to the preached word of God will be so sweet and genuine. As in all things, I believe that God has a plan in all this. It very well might be that the church will wake up, stop going through the motions, and experience revival and worship like never before. We've loved the extra time as a family, and I thank God for this wonderful and unique opportunity to be together. But we can't wait to fellowship and be with our church family again. One thing is for sure, this one person wrote to me that God has taught me is that I have taken my church family for granted. I never truly realized just how much I need to be around other Christians like the ones at our church. I will never take our church family for granted again. I don't know about you, but I'm humbly encouraged by how the Lord is using this time in the hearts of his people. And I wanted to read all of that tonight because that's not me speaking. That's people that you go to church with. It's people that you shake hands and hug normally in this room. It's people that you pass by in the hallways and say hello and good morning and then go to your seat. It's people that we all associate with. And this is what God is doing. What's he doing in your heart? I don't know about you, but I'm humbly encouraged by how the Lord's using it. Is he working in yours? Rather than just waiting it out, can I encourage you to wait on the Lord? Now, I'd still love to hear your testimonies and even share them with the church family as God gives liberty. And you can send that to pastor@smbc.net. I've heard of people sending our link to some other people and those people now engaging in their church and a spouse there gets to hear about the Lord and other people using it, however he's using it. Would you feel free to share it? How is he working in your life? I just want to implore you tonight, don't just wait it out. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you for the dear people that hung in there with me. I'm so, so encouraged by what you're doing. And God, I pray that that would supersede each and every other thing that's going on worldwide. I pray, God, that one day in glory, we'll see the statistics that really took place during this time. How many souls were saved? How many marriages were saved? How many homes were revived? How many churches were revived? How many Christians came back to the Lord? How many Christians told someone about Christ? And God, we promise to sing all the glory and praises to you forever and ever and ever. And we look forward to that day. Please bless this in our hearts tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope.